Warning, the following podcast contains the details of a violent crime. Listener discretion is advised. The afternoon of Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014, was a warm and sunny one in Orleans. I was attending class at St. Peter's Catholic High School, and the end of the day had finally come. As I collected my things and tried to head for the school bus, something felt very off. Every single exit was guarded by multiple police officers, each of them scanning the crowd intently. Just then, my phone went off. It was my mother, who worked within walking distance of my school. Her text said that Luce Lavertu, the mother of two other students, had been murdered in her nearby home, and her son, Chris Gobain, was nowhere to be found. Where was he? Why was she killed? And why Ottawa? The morning began like any other in their household on St. Bruno Street. La Vertu's husband had left for work, and her daughter had headed to school at St. Peter's. But their 18-year-old son, Chris, did not want to go. Chris had been struggling considerably with his mental health, most notably with depression and anxiety, and as such, his attendance at school had been suffering as well. La Vertu was not having it. She didn't want him missing any more school, and she told him so, yelling at him that she would kick him out of the home. Soon the heated argument became an all-out fight, and it continued to escalate until things suddenly went too far. She grabbed him by the throat in the front foyer, so he attacked her, squeezing his hands around her throat until she was breathless. But she still tried to fight back. Shaken and furious, he would later tell police that he went to the kitchen and grabbed a knife because he was, quote, trying to finish her off. He said, "I don't know what I was thinking." He stabbed her over and over in the back and side, slitting her throat and leaving her lifeless. Chris was in a panic, with no idea what to do. He put a garbage bag over her head and bound her hands together to make moving her body easier. He removed his shirt and used it to wipe the blood from the knife, leaving the items on the dining room table. Feeling frantic, he decided to try to kill himself with his father's gun. However, the gun case was locked, and even with the help of an axe, he could not break through it. Unable to carry out his original plan, he texted his dealer around 11 a.m. to buy marijuana and smoked it next door at a neighbor's house to try to calm his nerves. Once he returned home, his plan hit another, larger snag. His mother had made plans for some of her friends to come over for lunch, and they had arrived. He locked up every door and window of the home and didn't answer, hoping to give the impression that no one was home. Canceling plans without making any contact whatsoever was extremely unlike La Vertu, so the friends called her husband at work, immediately concerned for her safety. Chris grabbed the axe he had tried to use to break into the gun case and hid in the bathroom to lie in wait. When La Vertu's husband, Jacques Gobain, heard that there was no answer at home, he took a cab there with no hesitation, also fearing for his wife's well-being. Upon arriving, he grabbed a baseball bat from the garage, fearing the worst. Once he entered, calling out for his family members, he made the gruesome discovery of his wife laying dead on the living room floor, covered in blankets and coats. He called 911, telling the operator that he had reason to believe his son was responsible and was still hiding somewhere in the home. Hearing him say this, Chris burst from the bathroom in his pajamas, dropping the axe and running out of the house without stopping to put on shoes. He hopped fences and ran through neighbors' yards, searching desperately for a place to hide from what he had done and the imminent consequences of his actions. And so the search was on. Their home was a stone's throw away from St. Teresa Catholic Elementary School, so police sent units out both to search nearby properties and to lock down the school, as class had just ended for the day. Officers were also sent to St. Peter's Catholic High School in case Chris had decided to go to school after all. All exits were guarded by officers, but the police searching the neighborhood closed in on him. Defeated and sobbing, Chris emerged from between two houses with his hands above his head and was taken into custody. In court, Chris's lawyer expressed his sadness and regret on his behalf. He said how he loved and missed his mother, how he couldn't stop thinking of her and the suffering he had caused her and their family. his father delivered an impactful statement, speaking about how he and Lavertu had been the best parents that they could be for him, trying dearly to do what was best for him through his mental health struggles, which had caused Chris to shut people out. They had sought help for him through a family doctor, a psychologist, and a psychiatrist, but to no avail. He had struggled with his extreme anxiety and depression, and he himself feared he may be a psychopath. His father brought up his son's tattoo, one on his arm that read, "Forgive and Forget." Speaking to the court, he said how they would never be able to forget La Vertu or the awful events that had happened that day, ending her life. But, he said, if Chris got and accepted professional help and stopped shutting people out, he may be able to forgive him. Chris Cobain was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to serve 12 years before being eligible for parole. And so it seems that the reason Luce La Vertu was murdered was that mental illness is never straightforward. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, call the Ottawa Distress Center's Crisis Hotline at 613-722-6914 and seek professional help. It may save lives.